I'm going to ask that you turn with me to the Gospel according to John chapter 17. We're in his prayer. Again, as you're turning there, it's always a privilege to touch God's Word, read God's Word, but to present it is an awesome privilege. So I thank God, and I thank you for allowing me to do it as well. In John chapter 17, he is doing his final prayer. It's the longest prayer in the New Testament. So let's read. We've already started it, and so I'll go over a summary, a little bit of where we are. We're actually going to start it in verse 10 to 19, Lord willing. But prior to that, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 19 for the context of the whole prayer. We won't get to the finish part, but let's look at verse 1, John 17 says, "These words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. These things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and thy world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, as we do approach your throne, we thank you for your word. We see that it is truth. We see that it changes our life in such a way that we would walk this earth as light in this darkness, so that men may see who you are. We'd ask this morning that you would put this servant aside, that you would have the freedom, and the Holy Spirit would work in each and every one of us as we hear your holy word. But let us not be hearers only, but doers. So we ask your blessing this morning. Help us. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Again, we've already started in this, and we see that there's two positions that are going on. Jesus Christ this is the longest prayer in the New Testament. And Jesus Christ is praying the upper room ministry. you'll go back, and if you read chapters 13 through 16, you will see that parts of the prayer is actually going back of what has actually been taught them. And if you even go further back to John chapter 1 and read through 12, you will see that bits and pieces are also in this prayer. He's concerned in the first five verses about himself. And that's where we should be concerned sometime too. It even tells the elders in the Acts 20 and 28 that take heed unto yourself before you work out the others. We're going to see that the two positions that Jesus Christ, being the servant that he is, we heard that this morning, he's a servant. He came to this earth not to be ministered to, but to come to minister to others. And so the two positions are sacrificial lamb. He will take on the wrath of God so that you and I could have everlasting life. John chapter 10, verse 18 says, no man taketh it, that is his life, from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. But the second position is mediator. And so I put down in my thoughts that he's being promoted. I don't know if this is a promotion, but instead of just handling a section of earth, he is now handling the world as a mediator. John 1:12, and it goes to you and I, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So now he sits at the right hand of the Father on high, mediating for you and for me. In his daily prayers, he mentions you and I. How he can get all the world into that, I don't know, because he's an awesome, great God, almighty God that he is. In John 16:30, he said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Hold on to that thought, because that thought's going to carry us through our earthly life, that we are not alone. He says he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And so as we walk as light in the world of darkness, we're walking to represent as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. He is the mediator that will help us through this. He will show us the scriptures, the ways. He will give us wisdom. He will open up understanding so that we can walk in light for him. The two commissions that Jesus has, the sacrificial lamb and the mediator, both of these bring forth and deal with eternal life. We said last time that eternal life for all the believers is when they accepted Jesus Christ in their heart, their eternal life begins. If that is true, and I believe it is, that whatever you do, think, or say will be brought before the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. What we do on earth today impacts two different dispensations of time. One is the millennium. What you do today will, in fact, deal with the millennium. And then from the millennium, you will also deal with the new Jerusalem and what you do, say, and think today. That's an awesome responsibility, beloved. We see that the high priestly prayer that he is praying right now, in John 1:5, verses 1-5, Jesus prays for himself and his Father to be glorified. Jesus makes two requests. That the world see his divine love as he offers his own life as a sacrifice. And we often talk about God's love, but do we understand the depth of that sacrifice that he came as God, as human, and dying on a cross? The second request is that his humiliation in death may capture his glory. It seems that the lower you can go in humiliation, the higher you are exalted. Jesus' passion for the people is so tremendous, it will certainly exalt him to the high heavens above. His passion hour to unbelievers, though, is a judgment hour. Jesus' prayer to be glorified in verse 4 of John 17 simply says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. And we've already talked about that. He's already praying as if it is done. But the finishing part goes not only for the cross and paying the price, but I suggest it also has finished our rooms, our mansions in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14. It's done. When will he take us home? We said this morning in a prayer, we read it, Lord Jesus, quickly come. How many of us want him to come now? And for personally, maybe that's good. But I know so many people that have rejected Jesus Christ. Quickly come, yeah, for my sake, I would appreciate it. But for others, no, I don't appreciate that. God, your timing is perfect, whatever it is. Help me, help us to be evangelists, to present by way of words, actions, and thoughts, Jesus Christ and all the glory that he is. You see, in this prayer, this is 24 hours before Jesus goes home, before he dies on the cross of Calvary. So always listen closely to the people on a deathbed because their last words can really impact your life. The second part of Jesus' prayer, which is in verse 6 through 19, this prayer, he prays for the welfare of his children. That's you and I that believe. The welfare after he departs. Then you go from verse 20 through 26. That's the third part of his prayer. And he's praying for the unity of the universal church. So I step back and I say, do you believe that we're in unity in the universal church? What has happened? And what really has happened is man has gotten involved and their interpretation of the scripture has messed up everything. There's only one interpretation of scripture. And that's by way of the Holy Spirit. There's many applications, but there's only one interpretation. So we look at verse 6, which we've covered already. It says, we are a gift from the Father to the Son. And then it goes on and talks about we're a gift from the Son to the Father. And the gift goes on. And we talked the last time about we're a holy priesthood. Stressing the Christian character. Everyone should see our Christian character. We also talked about a royal priesthood. And this stresses our Christian relationship with Christ. So, and the world will see that. So we talked about Psalm 23 in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall not fear evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we see that this stresses our witness in this world of darkness. We are the light of the world. Jesus was, and he transferred that light to us. We are the light. Verses 7 and 8 we covered as well. Jesus' gift of knowledge to his disciples. Listen to his words in verse 8. And this is life eternal. So if you want to know what life eternal is about. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Knowledge plays a major part in eternal life. How close are we to God? How much time do we spend with God? You hear preachers say that all the time, that you have to read, you have to be with him daily. How important are these words to you? John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only glory as if the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Beloved, pick up five words as we talk through these scriptures. Pick up the word love, which we covered. Pick up grace and truth. But then what you won't see is attendance and obedience. But you'll see it in their actions. You'll see it in what Jesus has done. You'll see it in what the apostles and disciples have done. How important are these words? John 1, 17 and 18. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So we have a responsibility, beloved. Grace and truth should be our life. Love should be our life. But at the same time, what did Jesus Christ do? He presented the Father to the world, to the apostles. What should we declare? We should declare Jesus Christ. We should declare the Father as the Holy Spirit leads us through our walk through the valley of shadow of death. How important are these words? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Again, you see the word grace. You see the word, the thought of sacrifice. So as we go through this valley of shadow of death, I want you to pick up something. But I'm going to read you my story. That was my introduction. Here's my story. You've got to have a story. The story is this. It's Chance Meeting is the name of it by Jane Kirkpatrick. They shared a neighborhood street. These friends shared good times and good memories. When each wife became a widow within weeks of one another, they shared in mourning too. The woman made a pact that no hour would be too late to wait the other when memories of the loss became so great that their only friend's embrace could get them through. No need to call ahead, just knock on the door, the other's door. Each agreed to give in this special way. One night, the grief became so great it woke her. The anguish so real it sliced through the troubled sleep. In her nightdress, she fled into the darkness, seeking solace at her neighbor's door. She didn't make it. Instead, she met her friend mid-street, equally seeking, reaching for the comfort found only inside understanding arms. That's important to know. Things like this. I'm going to give you another one. I would say this is for children, but I kind of liked it. Piglet and Winnie the Pooh. We're walking side by side toward a setting sun. The short conversation was as follows. Piglet sidled up to Pooh from behind. Pooh, he whispered. Yes, Piglet. Nothing, said Piglet, just taking Pooh's paw. I just wanted to be sure of you. That kind of comfort is what we need. Stop and think about our Lord Jesus Christ. In 24 hours, he's going to the cross of Calvary. He's going to take on the wrath of God for the sin of you and I. And what is his thoughts? Is but the care of each and every one of us, of care about his apostles and setting up a universal church, caring about what we will go through. It said in John 16:32, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, and ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. But now think of Piglet and Pooh for a moment. Take that little scenery of the woman reaching out to the other woman, and the latter part of 16:32 says this, And yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. There are going to be times when trials and tribulations, persecutions are going to overwhelm us. But remember, as you get closer and closer to God, and you draw near to him, he promised in James 4:8 that he will draw near to you. And be like little Piglet and reach out, and his hand of our Lord Jesus Christ will be there. And he'll tell us, you're not alone. I'm with you. Jesus wanted the same comfort an encouragement that he had been knowing, that he knew the Father was with him. And he wants the apostles and you and I, his disciples, to know that Jesus Christ is with us, as he is the mediator watching us every moment. As you look at these verses, we've covered 1 through 8, and we now pick up verse 9 and 10, and he's talking about unity. In verse 9 and 10, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all thine are mine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Beloved, are we a glory to our Lord Jesus Christ? What was Jesus' glory to the Father? It said back in John, in the early part, I think it was John 3, where he actually said, I do all things to please the Father. Do we do all things to please the Father? Do we do all things to please the Son? You see, back in John 15, he gave a teaching in the upper room ministry. Actually, he was in the garden at the time. And his teaching was this, in John 15, verses 4 through 7. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The unity is so important in Christ's heart. He is constantly talked about the unity, about the Father sending him, and he declaring the Father. And he has given us the same example that we should follow to abide in him. And to abide in him, the more I understand the abiding life, the closer it seems that God is with us. No matter what the trials are. Matter of fact, no matter what the prosperities are. The prosperities has done more damage than the trials have. The trials build the faith. The prosperity sometimes moves your head away from God. Don't let that ever happen. In his prayer, the Lord's prayer, is he's praying in front of his disciples. They hear this. He doesn't need this to pray to the Father in silence. He wants us to see and hear this. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, and this is what it said. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Do you see the importance and the practical application of that prayer? Maybe Satan won't hit us. If he passes by us, he may throw us a slap. His demons may work. But you stop and you look at this. The world hates us. But we are to love the world. We are to show them the love of Christ in every walk and step that we take. And yet we get angry and compromise. I see way too many Christians compromising our position, and we shouldn't do that. It hinders the work of Christ. I've told you this about my dad. My dad said, I'm not a Christian because of Christians. Because he was a salesman, and he found out that Christians lied and cheat and held back things, manipulated. The only thing that brought him to the Lord was the fact that he read one scripture a day a few months before he died, and he accepted Christ on his deathbed. That's the only peace. my brothers and sister have about he being in heaven. So we have a responsibility in that particular statement that we are to strengthen one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to have a heart of unity, not only for the saints here in this assembly, but even those that have left this assembly, those who have never been part of this assembly, but that they love Jesus Christ. And we are to be in unity with them. Stay away from the controversial subjects and talk about the love of Jesus Christ. Talk about the grace of Jesus Christ. Talk about the truth of grace of Jesus Christ. But these other two words, attendance and obedience, are so important. We should be attending. Attending to the scriptures. Attending to one another's needs. Attending to one another's prayers. Being obedient to the word of God when it comes forth to you. There are certain scriptures you have that have captured your heart. Are you obedient to those scriptures? Am I obedient to those scriptures? What Jesus did for Peter, he is doing for us. And that's the position of a mediator in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father on high. That's where the authority and power has been given him as he intercedes for us daily. The danger was coming when because we are frail and weak. He has told the disciples in John 16 that the world hates them. They're going to go through trials. They're going through tribulations. Why do we go through these things? Why do we have sickness? Why does cancer come towards a Christian? And every one of these things that come to us is simply one thing. If you're looking at Jesus, the faith will be built and grow. Your faith will be built and grow. We're the branches of faith. He's the vine, and we are the branches that produce, and he will produce the faith, and it will get stronger. A little bit of faith, as someone said, will bring me to heaven, will bring you to heaven. A whole lot of faith will bring heaven to us. We should walk in our faith, and not by sight. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." That's in John 16:33. And if you go to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and you see the seven churches, what does he say every time to the seven churches? They that overcome. They that overcome. And it's not we that's overcoming, it's Christ in us. He's the overcomer, and we are part of him. We're in unity with him. Jesus is making it clear that his disciples, you and I, are united to God. This is our protection, that we are united with God. Nothing can happen to us unless God has allowed it. And if God has allowed it, he will give us strength to get through it. But you've got to look to him. You've got to talk to him. You've got to listen, give attendance to him. You have to be obedient to him. Psalm 46, 1 and 2 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." That's verse 1. Verse 2 says, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried out into the midst of the sea." Can you imagine in an earthquake, how many people get scared in an earthquake? I've never really been in an earthquake where the earth opened up. I haven't seen a tornado. It's one of my bucket list things. I want to see it from a distance. I don't want to get too close to that. I'm not looking for a circle trip. Jesus' prayer carries a responsibility for every saint that we're talking through. Regarding Peter, Jesus prayed that his faith fail not. Do you know what he prays for us? That our faith fail not. And when he was converted, strengthen others. And that's exactly what we must do. I remember when my neighbor's roof of his house fell in. Wasn't a pleasant thing. We pulled it apart, and then all of a sudden, a variety of thunderstorms came through. We quickly put tarp over the holes in his roof, which was massive. And then we just sat together without talking in his kitchen as we heard the pounding of the rain, not talking, just being encouraging one another in our presence. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. And if you're going to be silent, a couple of little silent prayers to God works out great. The house made it through. We made it through. Peter and the other disciples glorified God in two ways. And even in his prayer, what are the two ways they glorified God? Attendance and obedience. How important is attendance in our life, beloved? You know, our responsibility in glorifying him comes in three areas. In our thoughts. See, God knows our minds. He knows our hearts. We should ensure that our thoughts and our emotions are glorifying him by remaining true to his commandments. That's in our thought life. In our words, the way we speak to others, about others, should be glorifying to God, should avoid abusive or harsh words. This is hard for me, by the way. Sorrells are always sarcastic. So no sarcasm. That said, that's hard for Sorrell. Gossip, negative language, that's meant to hurt, insult, or abuse, or belittle, get it out of your vocabulary. In our deeds, just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify our Heavenly Father, Matthew 5 and verse 16. Our deeds should be a reflection of Christ at all times. So when people see what you do for others, they see Christ in your actions. And in glorifying him, we should be sure not to put focus on ourselves. Let me go to the people's conversations. A lot of times you will say something about something that you're going through and you need encouragement, and then what does the other person do? They talk about all the things that they went through. That's not what they're there for. And that we have to cut off and try to encourage them for that moment of time. You'll have your time later. I'll have my time later. I'm guilty of this. I have to stop this and listen to what they do and say, because you can pray for them. That's strengthening your brethren. If you go down to the next section, and we see verses 11 and 12, and we see that, and now I am no more in the world. So Jesus is saying he's no longer there. I come to thee, Holy Father. He's going home. He's no more in the world. There's an honor going on here. Jesus is going to leave the world. Jesus is moving to his new position, mediator. There's a danger. What's the danger? The disciples without Christ are in danger. They stand in need of protection and support. So then there's more honor. What's the honor? The Holy Spirit will influence and guide his disciples. He's promised in John 14, 15, and 16 that he will send the Spirit of truth. He will send the Comforter. And if he doesn't go away, he can't send it. And so we have the Comforter, the Spirit of truth within us. There's another honor. The other honor is the mediator in heaven, the one that sits at the right hand of the Father on high with all power and with all authority. Jesus will intercede for us. For them, they may be preserved in his truth. He is still protecting us. We just don't see him, or the apostles would not see him on earth anymore. We've never saw him on earth. He's been an invisible God to us. But he's also been visible spiritually to us through his scripture, through his word, through experience. They are in the world, he says, the world system. That's what we are to hate, the world system, which includes wicked men and enemies of Christ. His apostles and Christians will be subject to trials and persecutions. We are subject to it. His apostles and Christians will need the same protection which Jesus gave them when he was with them. And then he says, Holy Father, keep them, preserve them, defend them, sustain them in trials, save them through from apostasy. That would tell me, beloved, even in his prayer, there's many people who call themselves Christians, but they're not really believers. They're on the fence. And we can put them over the fence, one way or the other, through our words and actions against Christ, or our words and actions for Christ, glorifying him. Let's stay on the correct side. Through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, keep in the knowledge of God. Keep in the knowledge. Preserve them in obedience to thee. Thy word and thy cause. Do you know your purpose in life? We should all know our purpose in life. It's to honor and glorify God. It's to please him in all that we do, say, and think. It's to take words like love, like grace, like truth. And let me give you another word that runs a theme throughout all of Scripture. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the most beautiful words in the English language. And the thing is, with forgiveness, that's what Jesus said at the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you can forgive others, that's a wonderful thing. The one that you have the most trouble forgiving is who? Yourself. Forgive yourself. The Lord has already done it. Beloved, we are God's personal property. We are the branches of faith. We are the spiritual plants that grow and offer the fruit of the Spirit. You know what the Lord has said over and over? He said about, show the world, what is it, John 13:34. I'm going to just swing over there because I didn't memorize it. 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that ye love one another. By this all men shall know that ye are my disciples, if you have loved one another. It's his love that's in us. His love that's in us. But then he goes on and he talks about his love. In 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's his peace. It's his peace. When we get to joy, you're going to find out he's going to talk about his joy. What are we at? We're at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. That's looking towards God and God in us. Then there's gentleness, kindness, and long-suffering. That's working with others. Then you have that meekness and that faith and that temperance. That's working in yourself. And so that's the fruit of the Spirit. One fruit, nine parts. I'm done. I'm just starting. John 17:11-12. He didn't lose anybody except one, and that was the son of perdition. But when you look at the son of perdition, Judas is called the son of perdition, or at least that's what we're referring to him. He had the character of a destroyer. He was a traitor for God's cause. He loved money more than he loved God. He was Jesus' betrayer. Remember, God is love. God did not, and I'll say it again, God did not influence Judas Iscariot to what he did. There's no evil in God at all. Judas Iscariot's heart was for himself. Psalm 41:9, this is what Jesus said about the son of perdition. Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread hath lifted up his heel against me." When Judas went to Jesus and kissed him, Jesus called him friend. All Judas had to do was get behind him. Instead, he stepped back away from him. Beloved, I have to close now, but I want you to take these five words. Love, agape. Live it. I want you to take on grace. People don't deserve it many times, but give it. You'll be amazed what that will bring in for the eternal life that can be offered. Give them grace. Do not compromise life. Use the word truth. Be firm if you have to. Do not back down. Truth is the key. If you don't know it, let the Holy Spirit deal with you. Truth. And then, very important, attendance. How is our attendance to God, with God? How is our attendance in the assembly with one another? How is our fellowship of unity? And so important is the next one, obedience. Obedience is the fifth word. May we walk and talk and let Christ be our example of our life. We are the light of the world. Let's shine brightly for him so that he is exalted. He is glorified. He receives the praises. We come on Sunday mornings to praise him, to adore him, to worship him, to love him. May it carry through throughout the week. Until we meet again, may God bless you according to the riches of his grace. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for loving us the way you love us. As unlovely that we are, as ugly that we are at times, you still love us. You died for us. You rose again for us. You have given us eternal life, and this we are so grateful and thankful for. One day we'll see you face to face. Until that day, may we walk as you walked as a servant leader on this earth. May we present the gospel message day in and day out through our thoughts, through our words, and through our actions. Until we meet again, we ask that you bless all those who are watching or who are here according to the riches of your grace. Father, we'd be amiss if we didn't say we love you and thank you. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.